You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
At 7:05, welcome everybody. We're halfway through. The best yet to come here, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right, did you know that there are 245 million adults in the United States of America? What percentage of those people are working? About 58%. About 58%, 59% of the civilian adult population of 245 million were working last month. But how many have a full-time job? Only 47% of American adults have a full-time job.
The part-time job growth at the expense of full-time job growth is a very, very cutting-edge issue here. Are we developing in the United States a 30-hour week threshold because of Obamacare? Are we doing something in the U.S. the way the French did with the 35-hour work week? In which case, we're creating a major shift in employment.
Again, only 47% of Americans, American adults, have a full-time job. So when you heard Mitt Romney last year referencing the 47%, this was not the 47% he meant. But how troubling is this number? Well, let's find out. Best guy to talk to is economist. In fact, economics and business professor Dr. Peter Morici from the University of Maryland. We've given you his Twitter handle many times. It's at P. Morici. That's M-O-R-I-C-I. One, as in the number one. Again, that's at P. Morici. One. Peter, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine.
So what do you think about this number? 47% of American adults have a full-time job.
Well, it's indicative of a very weak economy. We're only growing at about 2%, so it's a buyer's market. And there's a lot of talent available out there that can be hired on a contingent basis, and part-time is one way to do it. Making people consultants is another way. With Obamacare coming up, it's not just the mandate, but it's also that every employer with more than 50 employees provide health care. But also, it's the mandates with regard to what insurance policies will look like. You know, you'll have to get eyeglass coverage for your cat or something. That's driving up the cost of health insurance, and so employers don't want people on fringe benefits, and part-time is a great way to do it. So you go to someplace like Williams-Sonoma or Walmart, and they try to hire a lot of three-day-a-week employees to the extent they can. And, you know, to some extent, it's not a bad thing. It gives people flexibility. But clearly, at only 47% with full-time jobs, that indicates there's a lot of people out there that would like to have full-time work but are being pushed into a part-time situation or multiple part-time jobs. You need to get 2 3-day-a-week jobs.
By the way, one of the things that you have educated people about is the futility of temporary tax breaks or temporary programs. For instance, a temporary tax rebate. That doesn't get the economy going. That just shifts decision-making by a few months here and there. Or the Cash for Clunkers program on the other side, where you pay people to do something that you want them to do in a very contained period of time. That doesn't help the economy overall. It just helps it for those few couple of months.
And so that's right.
And I'm wondering, what is the impact on the economy of the White House saying, okay, the employer mandate to cover your workers with health insurance does not start in 2014. It starts in 2015. Why would you hire a full-time person for a year?
Well, the intention wasn't to get people to hire people, but the fact is the administration said that it was the employers weren't ready. Now we learn that the administration itself isn't ready, that they have not been moving as quickly as they need to establish the exchanges and to establish the record-keeping and surveillance processes, and they are surveillance processes. Wait till businesses see what they have to report now. I mean, I don't know why they don't just put a chip on the back of my neck and track me. And, you know, they want it simpler.
Yes.
But then again, you know,
don't give them ideas, please.
They've got those ideas. The NSA has probably gone to the secret court and, you know, and asked for, would you, you know, these 12 judges or whatever it is in the secret court, you know, that decide that they can put a chip on your dog and they're not tracking you, they're tracking the dog, you know, that kind of thing. These surveillance processes that are going to be required in a command and control economy are you know, quite extensive. When you add together all the things that Mr. Obama is putting under command and control, you know, one of the efficiencies of socialism was the hammer and sickle flag only had two colors, okay, instead of three. So I guess he's going to save some money there to pay for all this. But it's really absurd. No, they really aren't ready. That's all there is to it. And but it's not going to change hiring plans very much, because why would you put somebody on to just have to take them off? It's very expensive to put them on.
So essentially, they say, well, it's for administrative purposes. It's really for political purposes. It's get this thing off the radar for the 2014 elections. But I don't know how they really keep it off the radar, because 60 days after Election Day, you've got this looming requirement that kicks into effect.
The thing is then it's after the election, and it's almost 2 years from the next election. He's basically making it Hillary's problem. It's going to be interesting to see how Mrs. Clinton separates herself from the mess that now ensues in 2015. How she, you know, on the campaign trail says, well, that's Obama's work, not mine.
Yeah.
I was Secretary of State. I'm only responsible
that's
for
right.
Benghazi. You know?
She's had her own problems with health care reform.
Those are in the distant past, and they're not going to hurt her. The basic problem with getting past Hillary is going to be that all the women are going to vote for her because they want a woman president this first time. And you really don't have to put up a very smart woman right now to get somebody through. The first woman that's nominated is going to win, especially if she's a Democrat.
Let's get back to the economy then, Peter, because what should be in a healthy economy the rough proportion of adults holding down a full-time job?
Well, it's hard to say in a world that's changed so much technologically, but certainly it's more than 47%. It's closer to 55 to 60, I mean, I would say.
Well, if you had the same proportion of Americans working today that were working 10 years ago, we'd have another 9 million people in the workforce.
If you just go back to... But the world has changed, okay? And there is going to be a lot more part-time work. I mean, because of the different things that we do, we don't do factory work as much. Even if we were getting the economy running properly in the manufacturing sector, we're running properly, which it's not. It wouldn't employ the kind of people it does now. I think a good number to go back to is where would we be, you know, say if Mr. Obama had, when Mr. Obama took office, the same proportion of people then, which is a pretty generous standard to hold them against, because we could go back to before the crisis. And then unemployment would be in the neighborhood of 10%, approximately. So he really has made no progress on unemployment, none at all. About 90% of the progress that he's made in unemployment has basically been getting people to leave the labor force altogether, never mind work part-time.
Well, that's the progress is illusory because many people have just given up looking.
Yeah, and also people go to, even in a healthy economy, people go to school more years these days, so that changes the percentage of adults and things of that nature. But it certainly would be higher. I don't think it's fair or reasonable, because remember, whatever standard you cook up now, you'll have to apply to the next Republican president, whenever that should appear in the far future. That it's reasonable to go back, you know, say 15 years and apply a standard of them, because the world has changed a lot. Also, you're not going to be talking about this standard unless you get the economy running again right. And at that point, I think a lot of women or men as caretakers will, or caregivers, excuse me, caretakers are for cemeteries, caregivers are for children, caregivers will be working part-time. You know, despite what feminists like to say, if they are married to a good wage-earning male, when they have children, they work less. And now, men that are who are married to good wage-earning females who earn less are taking time off.
Mm-hmm.
And that necessarily means not working at all, but it often means working part-time.
Right.
There's a lot more of what we do in this economy lends itself to part-time work.
Peter,
and so you have a lot more of that going on in the economy. But, I mean, this is not it's not healthy what's going on. It's not healthy what's going on.
So if you were advising the Republicans about what they could do to offer up an alternative agenda to raise the percentage of adults who are working from 47% to over 50%, what would you tell them to do?
Well, it was basically the Reagan platform, and that was to fix trade with China, develop domestic energy, throw Obamacare out the window and start over again. You know, certainly keep elements of it, because a lot. So there were elements of Obamacare that were popping up in the states on an individual basis, which are good. To do a better job on business regulation, not to deregulate, but to smartly regulate, as opposed to just creating lots of jobs for Muffy and Buffy at Harvard. Those kinds of things. But I think that talking about those things just doesn't get you elected, especially with the number of people who are not all that policy savvy that are now in the electorate. I think you need to talk in plainer terms. Say, as a conservative, what we want to do is create a better life, help you create a better life for yourself by creating a better job market.
Peter,
that's what I'm about.
All right. Peter Morici from the University of Maryland, thanks again for joining us. Again, follow Peter on Twitter. Sends out some really provocative tweets on a regular basis. P. Morici, that's M-O-R-I-C-I. Again, M-O-R-I-C-I. P. Morici 1, as in the number 1. That's at P. Morici 1. Thanks again, Peter. We'll talk again soon.
Take care.
You got it.